السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرًا ونظيرًا داعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا. أما بعد، قال جل جلاله أما نواله في كلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in His kalam to have His taqwa. And not only to have His taqwa, but to have His taqwa as it is His right. Ittaqullaha haqqa tuqati. So it is not a matter of saying that I fear to offend Allah. And this is my definition of taqwa. It is not fear of Allah. It is fear to offend the one we love the most. And the way I come to that translation and meaning, instead of the usual one, which is fear of Allah, is because fear is a negative emotion. Fear is something that produces hatred. The more you fear something, the more you dislike that thing. Nobody loves cancer, right? You fear cancer, so you hate cancer. Nobody loves a dictator. A school child going to school does not love a teacher who is harsh. They fear them, they obey them out of fear. They obey them out of the evil that they fear will come from them. If I don't obey the teacher will beat me, so therefore I obey the teacher. But do I love the teacher? No, I hate the teacher. I wish the teacher was not there. I wish I never had to go to school. Right? So you hate that which you fear. And therefore, in my view, to translate taqwa as fear of Allah is the wrong translation, because we don't hate Allah Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about, He made this statement with respect to the quality of the believers, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily the people who believe, the people of faith, the people of iman, the Muslims, are people who not only love Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, but أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with great intensity. They love Allah more than anything else. Not just one of the things I love. No. The most, the greatest love. And Allah made this and defined this as a quality of the believers. So now if you take taqwa and you bring this hubb of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu together, what do you have? You have a situation where a muttaqi is the one who fears to offend the one he loves. So therefore, the more he loves, the more the fear to offend will increase. So taqwa and hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are directly proportional. Higher the hubb of Allah, higher the taqwa. You cannot claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greatly and then you are not concerned about offending Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. That is illogical. Because if I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, then how can I do anything against the will of Allah? The more I love Allah, the more my desire to please Allah will increase. Which means the less my desire to please those who go against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pleasing Allah and pleasing the makhluk is not always inversely proportional, but for a lot of times it is inversely proportional. The more you try to please the makhluk, the less you will please Allah, usually. Of course, in the makhluk is also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you say, I'm trying to please Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then automatically you will also please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So that is positively related. That is proportionally related. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُوتِئِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ in Surah An-Nisa. So, obedience to the Prophet is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us only to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with most of our relationships, with most of our social circles, with most of the kind of society of disobedient and rebellious people that we live in, usually pleasing the people means to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is almost a general rule. Because people, to please them, they will ask you to do things which are either clearly haram, or if they are not clearly haram, they are a waste of time, they are things that are doubtful, they are things that are undesirable, and so on and so forth. So if you want to please those people, you end up falling into that. So that's the inverse relationship. And therefore, what is the position of the Muslim? The position of the Muslim is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and to increase his love for Allah to the level where he fears and he dislikes displeasing Allah more than anything else. That he will never displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no matter what. And that is the meaning of ittaqullaha haqqa tuqati. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is his right that we should have this taqwa. This is the essence of what we have been talking about on all these Jumaat, where we are talking about the issue of questions. What are the questions that we will be asked, and what are the responses to those questions? And the reason of saying this is not for us to memorize the response, because that doesn't work. The response is what will come out automatically, spontaneously from us, depending on how we lived our life. It's not a response that can be memorized and learnt, and then in the khabar, when you are lying there, if you lived a life of disobedience, you cannot say Rabbi Allah, Dini Islam, and so on. Doesn't happen. Doesn't work like that. And we talked about what is it that brings about this state of obedience. The first question, we are on the first question, which is Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? And the answer to that is Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah. And as I told you, that's a statement of what? Information or relationship? Relationship. It's a statement of relationship. Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah. Relationship. And we are now talking about how do we build that relationship. As I told you, three things. First one is shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Second one is obedience to him. Completely unconditional obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And the third one is ittiba of the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which inshallah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and the hayat, then this will come in the future Jumaas that inshallah we will be here. So we are now on the issue of obedience, and last Jumaah we finished part of that, and I gave you the example which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, which is the example of his Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the life of his wife and his son, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these examples for us to reflect on, to help us understand what is the meaning of complete and unconditional obedience. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, subhanallah, his life and the life of his family is full of such examples, complete and total obedience without question to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand these examples, to open our eyes and hearts to these examples, to enable us to live our lives according to these examples, so that when we are resurrected on the day of judgment, inshallah, we are resurrected with the people on whose example we lived our life. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, on the day of judgment, you will be with those you love. So choose wisely who you love. If you love Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, you will be with Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, and you and I will be with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if we loved somebody else, we will be with that other person. And the symbol of love is to follow. The symbol of love is to follow. It's not to claim to have love and then do the opposite of what those people did. No. The one who loves Ibrahim alayhi salam obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he does not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his claim of loving Ibrahim alayhi salam is a false claim. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And that is the point we are making. We came to the incident of the qurbani, of the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and I recited for you the ayat of Surah As-Saffat, and we looked at the issue of how does that little boy who was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, who was to be a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, how did he develop a heart where his father could have said, Fanzur maza tara, look inside and see what do you see. What kind of tarbiyah did his mother give him? And as I have said many times before, Ismail alayhi salam is the product of the tarbiyah of his mother. She was a single parent. She was alone. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not there. Until this incident, Ibrahim alayhi salam was not there. The tarbiyah of Ismail alayhi salam by and large was done by his mother, Hajara alayhi salam. And because of the dua of his father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, the power of the dua of a salih father. Abu Huma Saliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those two boys who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept for them a treasure buried beneath a wall, and Qizr alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam went there and they found this wall was breaking down, and Qizr alayhi salam he repaired this wall. And later on in the ayat of the surah, when Ibrahim alayhi salam asked him the ta'wilat, you know, why did you do that, he explained this and he said that this under this wall is a treasure that belongs to two boys, Abu Huma Saliha. The father of those two boys was a salih person. Father died and went away. Father is gone. Father has died. But he was a salih person. He was a good person. He was an obedient person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the inheritance of those children by sending his messenger there to look after the thing, even though the father was dead and gone. So the power of the dua of the salih father. Today, may Allah protect us. We have situations, and every time I hear something, I don't know what I should do, and I sometimes tell people, why do you tell me? Please, leave me out. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But they come and tell me. Case after case after case of parents misleading children. Hey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you parents to do what? To lead your children into Jahannam? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the worst of the parents will be those who will see their children being thrown into the hellfire, and they will know that they were the cause of that. Eh? You want to be that? May Allah protect you and me from this. Guide your children. Why do you think you have a position? Why is the position of the father and the mother? Is it purely genetics? Why is the Jannah supposed to be under the feet of the mother? It is because of what that role is supposed to do. The position of the father and the mother is because they are, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your father and mother are two doors of Jannah. How can you have a door of Jannah which leads to Jahannam? Yeah? Can you imagine? Door of Jannah that leads to Jahannam. Fathers forcing their children to sign on bank papers because they want to borrow money on interest to build a house. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. You want to declare war against Allah, go do it on your own. Go do it on your own. Why do you involve your son into that? Why do you involve your son into that? The boy writes to me and says, what shall I do? What do you want me to tell him? He asked me, but should I obey my father? I said, if your father told you to fornicate, if your father told you to go to a prostitute, will you do that? He said, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah. I said, what your father is asking you to do is 100 times worse than that. Is 100 times worse than that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not declare war on the fornicator. Allah said, this is haram and you will be punished and you make tawbah. Allah declared war on the one who deals with interest. This is what fathers are for. To misguide their children. This is what mothers are for. little girl, 8-9 years old in school, comes and tells me in the middle, in the big school function. After I finish my speech, the girl has a question. What's the question? She says, I wear hijab. Little 8 or 9 year old girl. I wear hijab. My mother forces me to take it off. I said, why? Why? She says, you will not get married. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is why mothers are there for. Do you think there is Jannah under the feet of that mother? There is a fire of Jahannam under the feet of that mother. No Jannah. Parents have a position for a reason. Many times people come, Sheikh, please give a speech on the rights of the parents. I always tell them, I will not give a speech on the rights of parents. I do it elsewhere, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, I will not give a speech on the rights of parents. I will give a speech on the duties of parents. You complete your duties, you will find your children will literally be with you. They will do your khidmat like your slaves, because they will love you. They will respect you because you will be their sheikh. You will be the father, will be the one from whom the child learned the Quran. The mother will be the one who used to wake up the child for tahajjud. Do you think the children will not respect those parents? There's a beautiful video which I have mentioned before about there was a whole Quran recitation competition in Egypt, and somebody did a BBC, I think, or some Wallah Alam. They did this whole documentary on all those little children. They're all little kids, 8-9 years old, from Kazakhstan and Gambia and all kinds of countries, who came to Egypt, to Al-Qahira, to Cairo, for this Quran memorization and recitation competition. And they went back and they filmed them and said, you know, how do you recite? And there's this absolutely beautiful, beautiful sequence of this father and son from Sierra Leone. The father is an imam in the masjid, and his little son is maybe 8-9 years old, wallahu alam. He is doing his dawr, he's doing his recitation, is repeating the kalam of Allah which he has memorized. Who is his ustad of hifz? His father. And there's this beautiful sequence. They are walking on the beach in the surf, barefoot. The waves are washing their feet, and the father is holding the hand of the son, and the son is reciting Quran. Do you think that son will ever disobey that father? Do you think that father will have any problems? Do you think a father like that will have to come to somebody like me and say, please tell my son about the huquq of the parents? Do your duties. Forget about your rights. Everybody today is focused on rights. What are my rights? Forget about rights. Because you will not be questioned about rights. You will be questioned about duties. And the reality is that if all of us focus on our duties, the rights of other people are automatically taken care of. Because my duties are your rights. My duties are your rights. It is your right that if I stand here and make a khutbah, that khutbah should be well researched and should be well delivered to the best of my ability. My Rabb is witness, I do my best. Whether you like it or don't like it is not the issue. But it is your right that I must do my best. And my Rabb is witness that I do my best. And it is my right on you that you make dua for me. Especially when I ask you to make dua for me. Now, should I worry about this right or should I worry about my duty? Because I know if I do my duty, inshallah, you will do your duty. Don't worry about rights. Husbands, please tell my wife what are my rights. She says, sorry, I won't tell your wife that. I will tell you what is your duty. And I will tell her what is her duty. Because she will be questioned about her duties. And you will be questioned about your duties. Allah will not ask you what was your right. No, He will say what was your duty. And the reality is that if you fulfill the duties, the rights take care of themselves. And that is why I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, it is the right of the parents to do the upbringing, the tarbiyah of the children. Not simply to feed them and clothe them like they are little, you know. That's why I ask people, how many kids do you have? Let's see who falls into this trap. How many kids do you have? Anybody? How many kids? Three. You always find somebody will fall into the trap. A kid is a baby goat. He's not a baby human being. Now how many kids do you have? Huh? None, huh? You have children, right? You have children, you don't have kids. Please. Kid is a baby goat. How many baby goats do you have? None. How many children do you have? 3, 4, 5. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiply that by 5, inshallah. From the same wife, inshallah. Why am I saying that? Because we seem to think that bringing up children is equal to bringing up a baby goat. Ensure it is well fed, ensure it is dry, ensure it's got a roof over the head. Khalas, my job is over, I'm a great father. No, you're not a great father, you are a great goat keeper. A great, how can you be a great father? You never introduce your child to Allah. You never introduce your child to the kalam of Allah. You never introduce your child to the concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be obeyed. And you did not introduce it to a child to the fact that this salah which we are going through, inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, is our ticket to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala real time. You never did any of this. Now how are you, O father? Please, obedience comes because of tarbiyah. How did Ismail alayhi salam develop a heart where his father could have said to him, and he did say to him, Fanzur maza tara, look what you see. How could he reply and say, oh my father, do what you have been commanded to do and you will find that I will have sabr, inshaAllah. Where does a little 8-9 year old kid get this wisdom to say this? Because of tarbiyah. My brothers and sisters, the heart sees. Allah said, لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. Allah said about those people who disobey Allah, He said they are not blind because their eyes do not see. He said they are blind because their hearts are blind. Listen carefully. Our hearts see, but they see through glasses. And what is the name of those glasses? All of us, all hearts see through glasses. What is the name of that glass? Dunya. Dunya. The name of the glasses of the heart is dunya. The more cloudy that glass, how does that happen? By love of dunya. The glass becomes cloudy. By sinning, the glass becomes cloudy. Until may Allah protect us, it becomes opaque. And then you cannot see anymore. The heart becomes blind. Heart becomes blind. What must you do? Keep that glass clean. How do you clean that glass? By thinking about death. By thinking about the time when that glass will be removed. When the glass will be removed. That's what cleans that glass. Tarbiyah, tarbiyah, tarbiyah. Obedience. My brothers and sisters, what was the reward of that obedience that Ibrahim alayhi salam got? It was the khullah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic, there are many words to describe friend. There is sadiq and jameel. Huh? Sadiq is friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also called Wali is friend. Khalil is also friend. But in English we have only one word. In Urdu we have one word, dost. But in Arabic there are many, many words. Zamil is friend. But Rafiq is friend. Different levels of friendship. And Khalil is the closest of friends. Now there is no friendship as we understand between ourselves, between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and any of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say Khalilullah, we must not think of it like Ibrahim alayhi salam was the friend of Allah, like you and I are friends. Friendship implies equality. Who is a friend? One who is equal to me. Friendship implies equality. There is no equality between the Rabb and the Abd. The Rabb is the Rabb, the Abd is the Abd. But given that distinction, and it's very important for us in terms of Aqidah to remember this distinction. Given that distinction, to have that level of closeness to Allah is the meaning of khulla. So what was the reward of that obedience? The khulla of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And the closeness of Allah, where it was his Rabb jalla jalaluhu who became the witness of his obedience and honored him such that to this day, thousands of years after Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajar alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam have all died and passed away, their names are taken with great honor. Great honor. Their actions have been made the rituals of the greatest of ibadat, Hajj. Hajj, the arkan of Hajj, are the actual actions of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajar alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salam. And their sacrifice is commemorated in every part of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also accepted the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam and sent Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger with the same duties that Ibrahim alayhi salam had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions where Ibrahim alayhi salam said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulam minhum yatulu alayhim ayatik wa yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah wa yuzakkihim innaka antal azizul hakim. Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua and said, O Allah, send amongst them a messenger of their own from amongst themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered this dua by sending Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will recite to them your ayat and who will teach them and instruct them in your book and who will instruct them in al-hikmah, which is the sunnah, and who will purify them. Verily you are almighty and all wise. Now see the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the sequence. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab wal hikmah wa yuzakkihim. He said, recite the ayat, teach them, explain those ayat, demonstrate for them how they are to be implemented, that is what hikmah and sunnah is, and purify them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintained this dua. Allah maintained this dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the same duties, with one difference. What is the difference? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the order of those duties. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is the most effective way of implementing something. So all the four duties remain intact. But Allah changed the order. And what was the order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laqad manna Allahu ala al-mu'minina idh ba'asa fihim rasulam minhum yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah wa in kanu min qablu lafi dalalin mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah has given a great ni'mah on the mu'mineen that he sent for them a messenger from within and amongst themselves with four duties. Recite the ayat of the Quran, then prepare them to receive the knowledge by yuzakkihim, by purifying them. The order has been changed. Recite, inform, this is the kalam of Allah which has come. Then purify them to receive the kalam. Then teach them the kalam. Yu'allimuhumul kitab. And then, after teaching them, show them how to do it. Demonstrate it for them. Wal hikmah, the sunnah. Recite what happened. Tell them what Allah has ordered. Change the heart to make it obedient. When the heart is obedient, what's the first question the slave will ask? How must I do this? How must I do this? And that how must I do it is explained in two ways. One by telling, one by showing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah. Order of Allah. Establish salah. Tazkiyatu nafs. Clear the heart of all disobedience. Clear the heart of all disobedience. And then the slave says, what? I am ready. How must I do salah? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains, and then what does he say? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you see me pray. He explains and he demonstrates. My brothers and sisters, what is the benefit of this obedience? What is the benefit of the obedience? The benefit of the obedience is, think about this before I go to that. Who would you trust? Would you trust somebody who loves you, who trusts you implicitly, who obeys you unquestioningly? Or would you trust somebody who treats you like a stranger, who dislikes your presence in his life, and who tries to disobey you at every opportunity? He's sneaky, he tries to disobey you. If he gets caught, he says, I'm sorry, but then he sneaks again. I mean, out of these two, if there were two people in your life, like, which one would you trust? Now, that's a no-brainer, right? I mean, obviously you trust the one who loves you and who respects you and who obeys you unquestioningly, not the other one who you have to police to see whether he's doing something or not. And this is the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where through implicit obedience and through complete and total single-minded concern for his pleasure, his slave reaches a position where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes his kafil. Allah becomes his sponsor. Allah becomes his wali. And Allah becomes his protector. Now, what is the benefit of having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your kafil? As I keep on saying every time I say things like this, forget the lecture. Take this one word. When you go back from here, go and sit and reflect and say, what will be my situation if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes my kafil? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my protector. Allah is responsible for everything in my life. What will be my situation? Think about that. Our problem today with obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we don't think. There's no value to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your kafil. There's no value to becoming a wali of Allah. Anybody here does not want to be a wali of Allah? Can I see some hand, please? I do not want to be a wali of Allah. Anybody? So what's the problem? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be his wali. Allah showed the way. So if you end up without being the wali of Allah, then believe me, you are responsible. Not Allah opened the door. You decided not to go through the door. And what I am trying to do is to explain to you how to go through this door as clearly as possible. Now after that, if you still find yourself outside and you still find that you are not a wali of Allah, you have yourself to blame. Nobody else. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and certainly not me. You can't say I didn't make it clear. Yes, you accept this? Huh? Why are you just shaking your head? Say yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who he becomes the kafil for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِن يَخُذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah said in Surah Al Imran, if Allah helps you, if Allah becomes your kafil, if Allah becomes responsible for you, if Allah takes the responsibility for your life, if Allah helps you, nobody can overcome you. فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. No one can overcome you. All the problems in your life will vanish. All difficulties will go away. Anything you touch will turn into gold. Anything you touch will succeed. Your du'as will be accepted. Anybody's got an allergy to this? You don't want this to happen? Yes or no? But did Allah say that this will happen just like that? Just by wishing? We have to work for it. And Allah says, then, but for the one who Allah leaves, who He forsakes, who is there after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can help him? May Allah protect us from this. And in Allah alone let the believers put their trust. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us about this person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes responsibility for. In the Hadith of Qudsi, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whosoever shows enmity to someone devoted to me, whosoever shows enmity to a wali of Allah, there are only two cases where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war. One was against the person who deals in interest, riba. And the second one was against a person who troubles a wali of Allah. And please understand, wali of Allah is not who you nominate as wali of Allah. Let's not fall into this trap. Who are the awliya Allah? And you got a whole list. Right? So and so. You and I have no knowledge of this matter. Anyone who names a particular person and says that he or she is a wali of Allah, please notice my words. If you name a person and if you say he is a wali of Allah, then you are speaking without knowledge. You are speaking out of ignorance. You have no such knowledge. What you and I can say and should say is, inshallah, so and so is a wali of Allah. But specifically to name an individual and say, so and so is a wali of Allah. हाँ बोलते साहब बहुत पहुंचे हुए बुजुर्ग है बड़े बड़े अल्लाह के बहुत बड़े वली है उन्हों आपको कैसा मालूम आप साहब देखे seriously I'm asking this is the question you know in big time conversation like this please don't fall into that trap a wali of Allah is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows as his wali and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this he said that there was among the three children who spoke as infants in the arms of their mothers. One of them was a child who the mother was sitting there holding the child in her lap, and a woman was going past and people were abusing her and people were throwing stones at her and so on, and they were abusing her and you know they were calling her all kinds of bad names, and his mother made dua and say, oh Allah, do not make my son like that, meaning don't put him in this situation. And the child spoke. And the child said, oh Allah, make me like that lady. Give me the position that you have given her. And then a great prince came by on his horse. And the woman made dua, oh Allah, make my son like this prince. And the son said, oh Allah, I ask you, seek your protection from this dua. Do not make me like this prince. The awliya of Allah are hidden. We do not know who they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them hidden. Uwais al-Qarni, rahmatullah alayhi, inshallah, a wali of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma and others, if you meet this man, ask him to make dua for your forgiveness. So the awliya of Allah are hidden. We do not know them. So no, don't name people. But what did Allah say about the awliya of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in a hadith of Qudsi, whosoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, to someone devoted to me, I will be at war with that person. Allah declared war against that person. Then Allah said, my slave draws near to me. He does not draw near to me with anything more beloved by me than the faraid that I have enjoined upon him. So the first condition of becoming a wali of Allah is to obey Allah with respect to all the faraid. Unquestioning obedience. No excuses. No. Fulfilling all the faraid. Keeping away from all things which are haram. Doing only that which is halal. First. And then Allah says, and please notice this. And Allah says, and my slave continues to draw near to me by means of the nawafil. By means of the extra ibadah that he does. The sunnah after the fard salah. The nawafil that we pray, tahiyatul masjid, salatul duha, awabin, so on and so forth, just nawafil. And the most powerful of the nawafil is Tahajjud. Tahajjud. Nawafil. You get close to somebody by doing more, not by doing less. This minimalist thinking is one of the biggest fitna that we have among the good Muslims. They pray in the masjid, but they pray 4 rakat fard and they are gone. Of course, whenever I see that, I have the best guman about them, and I believe that they are going home to pray the sunan, which is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah. But if that's not what they are doing, then they should think. They should think. Why is it that you will leave a sunnah muakkada of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then you make a big song and dance about somebody? If he has his trouser a little bit down below, his maybe, you know, his the waist of the trouser was loose, so it slipped. He didn't do it deliberately as a disobedience of Allah, but you just walked away from a sunnah muakkada deliberately. You didn't just happen to vanish. No? So how come? I mean, imagine, remember very, very clearly, all these double standards that we practice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable on the day of judgment. The trouser above the knee is sunnah. The four sunnah before Salatul Dhuhr, the two after Salatul Dhuhr are also sunnah muakkada. How do you leave that? I can understand one day you leave it, you are in a big hurry, the world is catching fire and you are going to put it out, wallahu alam. But every day, don't play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't apply this double standard. One standard for other people, you point a finger at that person. What about ourselves? So stop pointing fingers. Allah did not make you the kafil for somebody else. He didn't make you the policeman over somebody else. Allah will not ask your permission what to do with me or somebody else. So let's look after ourselves. Right? Leave the others. Let Allah deal with them. They are the slaves of Allah. That's between them and their Rabb. Ensure that you pray all the sunan. Ensure that you pray more than that. Ensure you make tahajjud fard on yourself. Pray nawafil. Give more sadaqah. Not this 2.5% zakat which is fard. Alhamdulillah, pay that. But give more. Give more. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the Hadith of Qudsi, Allah says, my slave draws close to me with nothing more beloved than those things which I have made fard on him. And then he continues to draw closer to me by means of his nawafil. And then listen carefully what happens. Allah says, and then I love him. When he comes that close to me, I love him. And what happens when he loves him? Allah says, and when I love him, I become the hearing by which he hears. I become the eyes, the seeing by which he sees. And I become the hand by which he holds and which he strikes. And I become the foot by which he walks. Jalla Jalalu. And were he to ask me something, I will surely give it to him. This is the wa'd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he makes dua, I will accept. If he asks me for something, I will surely give it to him. And if he asks me for protection, I will surely protect him. And Allah says, and I hesitate. I do not hesitate about anything as much as I hesitate about taking the soul of this slave of mine, because I know he does not like to die and I hate to hurt him. Arey, kuch toh khayesh karo yaar. Kuch toh khayesh karo. Have some desire in your heart, for God's sake. People say, free your heart from desire. I say, no, fill it with desire. The heart must be filled with desire. The desire that Allah must love me. Fill it. Why must you have an empty heart? For what? Fill the heart with desire that Allah must love me. Everybody, my boss must love me. My subordinates must love me. The whole world must love me. But Allah loving me, well, maybe. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Fill your heart with the desire that Allah must love you. And what to do with that? Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and totally, without question. And then do more. More nawafil and more supererogatory things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wa'ada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will love the person. And then revel in getting control of the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in getting the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your hands, where Allah will give you this power to do things. I'm not talking about making miracles and karamat. I'm talking about the power of dua. Allah will give you this, that when you ask, Allah will not refuse. My brothers and sisters, please don't simply sit and listen. Please reflect. Please put yourself in the position where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your hand. And then raise that hand in dua. What do you see? What do you see? Look in your hearts. What do you see? Do you like that? Do you want that? But do you think that it will happen simply if you continue in your current lifestyle? When those who went before you, who are far better than you and me, they dedicated their entire lives to getting that one dua accepted. Get real, people. Stop fooling yourself. And others, stop getting fooled. It's no good blaming others when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the intelligence and the ability to think and decide. Take decisions about your life because it is your life. Take decisions because one day it will end. And then you and I will be alone. All alone in a dark hole in the ground. All alone in al-alamul barzakh. Facing questions from other forms of life, who will have power over you and who will be able to do things to you that you have no defense against. And if the only one who can defend you turns away, imagine your situation. May Allah make us, protect us from this. Our brothers and sisters, let us make changes while we still can, because a day will come. And may Allah protect us, for some of us it may come before we die, when the door of Tawbah will be closed for us. And then there is no turning back. Remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no obedience to the creatures in the disobedience of the Creator. Hadith in Hakim and Ahmad. He said, there is no obedience to the creatures in the disobedience of the Creator. Do not obey anyone if they tell you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not obey anyone if they tell you to go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone. Don't obey anybody, no matter who they are. If they tell you to go against the hukam of Allah, or if they tell you to go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, disobey them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and bless you and open your hearts to the beauty of His mercy and guidance, and to enable you to do those actions which please Him and give you the courage to stand up against those who advise you to do the opposite. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.